A lot of James is in the Bible, and it must have been a common name at that time. I guess it still is. There's quite a few that we know. And most scholars, however, believe that the book of James was written by James, the Lord's brother. And James, the Lord's brother, Jesus' brother, was most likely, you know, it's mentioned in the Bible, a few references to him, did not even believe in the deity of his brother Jesus in the early days of his life. I mean, he grew up with Jesus and, of course, wasn't there to witness the virgin birth, obviously. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, James not only became a believer, but was one of the most prominent members of the early church in Jerusalem. And it's interesting, the book of James follows right after the book of Hebrews. And what's interesting to me about that is Hebrews is a very scholarly, in a way, deep theological discussion of the old law and the new law and a lot of things like that. Whereas James is a real rubber meets the road kind of book, just real practical things that hit right home. It reminded me, just in thinking about that, we were talking to Brent the other day, and he was mentioning he took Spanish in high school, and his brother, they took Spanish from two different teachers, and Brent's teacher, all she seemed to teach was the grammar and the sentence structure and punctuation and everything, and they learned all this stuff, and he took it for 3 years, but his brother took this class from another teacher who just, like, the first day showed him the book and said, "Now this is the book that goes with this class, and we're not going to ever use it," and put it away, and taught conversational Spanish. And by the end of one semester, they had a little bit of a handle on actually using some. And it kind of reminds me a little of, not to put down Hebrews, it's a deep theological book with lots of very important things in it. But James is a book that it's just full of things that will make us better people if we will hear and do. And that theme comes out, not only hear but do the things that we know are right. So with that, we'll start off with Asa.
I'll be reading James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
I'll be reading from James 1:19 through 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life. About the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not know what it says, like a man who at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks like intently into a perfect law, that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. A religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and may to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
I will be reading from James 2:1-13. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law and lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles as just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he said, "Do not commit adultery," but said, "Do not murder." If you do commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law, and gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
I will be reading James 2:14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." But believe that there is a God. Good. Even the demons believe that. You shudder, and shudder. A foolish man, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? What does your ancestor Abraham considered righteousness for what he did, and when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and actions were working together, but his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him in righteousness." And he was called God's friend. You see that the person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, the faith without deeds is dead.
I will be reading James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by, a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made by God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Well, thank you guys for reading that. Really appreciate that. And I think just as we listen to those few short chapters, just 2.5 chapters there. There's just one thing after another that we could preach a whole series on, or have a whole series of classes on. But there's so many things that, as I said earlier, are just practical things that aren't just theological things to think about. They're things to put into practice. We heard James say, "Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." We heard him say, you know, that the true religion is visiting the orphans and widows and keeping ourselves unstained from the world. We heard him talk about guarding ourselves against showing partiality. We heard him talk about just thinking, well, we have faith, we believe in God, but having no works is worthless. He says, well, the demons believe in God. Look where they are. And, you know, I noticed even this morning, the speaker got a lot of his text from the book of James, talking about our lives being a vapor. This book is just full of gold, really. And in the last two verses of the book of James, he writes, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So the last note he leaves on is restoring people back that have fallen away. And I think in the book of James, if we read it and we don't, you know, sometimes we don't like to think about, well, gee, that probably applies to me. I mean, I think we all fall short when we read this book. We like to think of all the things we've done. Yeah, we go to the right church, we believe the right things, but are we doing all the things written in the book of James? And we all need to examine ourselves in a good way to make us stronger and better. And sometimes we need help doing that. And that's why we always offer an invitation at the close of our service. And we want to do that now when Brent leads us in the closing song. If anyone has a need to be restored, they could come now and have the church pray for them or to be baptized, whatever your need is.